What is the use of running when you're on the wrong road? If you just can't shake the feeling that someone was sitting in your chair and talking to your old friend, it may be time to take note. Hey, Ted, nice to talk to you.
Nobody could ever replace you, Adam. It's merely temporary.
I didn't mention replacement at all. I don't know what you're talking about. I'm totally fine with it. Totally fine with it.
Just sign the forms and let's get this over with as quickly as possible.
How do I only own 49% of this podcast? I don't understand.
Well, welcome back from Canada. Hope you had a lovely time. Did you have a lovely time?
I did have a lovely time. I was in Montreal, which I think might be the greatest city in the world. It's a very magical place. It is more European than Europe. That's not how they bill it, but that's how I bill it.
I've said that it's North America's most European city. You've kind of taken that and turned it on its head. It is a beautiful place.
It's wonderful.
But welcome back.
Thank you welcome so back. Much. How are you doing, Ted?
I'm doing just fine. Halloween is tomorrow. The house is bedecked and bedazzled in orange and black. Pretty excited. When you shop for the Halloween candy, you get to pick the stuff that you like. So you better believe there's a whole garbage bag full of Butterfingers over there. I don't care what those kids say.
I'm impressed that you guys brought out the bedazzler for the for Halloween. My 3-year-old wants me to be a knife. He has asked me to be a knife for a month now, and I've just smiled and waited for him to change his mind. And I'm not dressing up like a knife, Ted. So it's going to be a disappointed little boy in my house.
If I'm just saying, Costco runs a great deal on aluminum foil. Get yourself a couple hundred square yards of that stuff.
I'm having flashbacks to in first grade when I was a Hershey Kiss. That was mostly aluminum foil.
What do you got, Adam? By which I mean, what have you written down in your notebook?
I'll get to that in 1 second, but you know what just occurred to me? Oh. Hershey's Kiss is a great costume for a chubby boy.
Well, are you saying you didn't need to build any superstructure?
We built structure, but I'm just saying, okay. In hindsight. Hershey's Kiss, maybe there was more to that than I realized at the time.
We're half the way there. Mm-hmm. We're going to save on cardboard.
Yeah, that's right.
All I was every year was either a pirate or a hobo, interchange, basically wearing the same tattered clothes. And it was just whether you had a sword or a bindle stick. So Hershey Kiss, you're doing a lot better than I did in terms of creativity.
You went to school as a pirate, but by the time you came back, that third grade 5 o'clock shadow, you were a hobo.
When you lose the sword and it's like, ugh, I guess I'm a hobo now.
That's right.
Find a stick.
Ted, I wrote in my notebook this week, tonight actually, I wrote a little children's story, an idea for a children's story. A dad steals his son's nose at bedtime, you know, grabs it between the fingers, I got your nose. Then forgets to give the nose back to his child. His child goes to sleep. The dad goes and does some chores, accidentally throws away the nose. When the boy wakes up in the morning, he realizes his nose is gone, so he runs to the garbage to find it. But the garbage truck has just come and already picked up the garbage for the day, so the boy goes to the dump to find his nose.
At the dump, he's got no sense of smell, finds he'd make a fantastic garbage man. Career set.
Happy ending, right? What do you got, Ted?
What is the word for the first few days of owning your Fitbit? The feeling that someone or something is watching you and enlisting you to watch yourself. Like how long you slept. Should anyone know that? It seems obscene. But boy, don't I want to know it all.
Did you get a Fitbit?
I did get a Fitbit. I got the really simple one that doesn't have a screen or anything. Just keeps all your info and sends it to your phone. I'm into it. I mean, I'll be honest. I reread the David Sedaris essay about the Fitbit. I was wanting to get one anyway, but that essay in his latest book, Calypso, it's an all-time classic, where he gets a Fitbit and just becomes wildly obsessed with it.
if any of our readers want to read that, they can, if you just Google David Sedaris notebook, I'm pretty sure. Oh, no, that's our website that comes up. Huh. Above the New Yorker.
Well, I always look for what's above the New Yorker. That's how I gauge quality.
That's what you just scroll right down to the first New Yorker hit, and then you go up one.
Well, it turns out that our SEO traffic campaign has been a wild success.
We've been spending millions of dollars.
Keyword and hard on David Sedaris and notebook. It's all coming together quite well. I'd say it's mostly my buzz marketing for when he came and read at my celebrity sister's independent bookstore. We've hit the Sedaris content pretty hard. Anyhow, I did get myself a Fitbit, and hey, I take the stairs more often than I did before I got it.
I like that yours doesn't have a screen.
I love it.
That's the best way to do it, I think.
I intuitively want to say that I knew that it was, because I don't want any additional, I don't want to look at a text message on my watch or anything ridiculous like that. I just, this thing's, there's no lights except when I double tap it, it shows me four little lights if I've hit my whatever goal, and it buzzes every now and again, which is actually kind of satisfying. Scared my four-year-old child at one point when it just started buzzing out of nowhere. But it did, you know, it does have that, some things watching you and tracking you.
How does it know when you sleep? Mine doesn't do that.
Yeah. It tells me how long I slept.
How does it know?
I think if it stops moving for a while. I think it just uses its spidey sense.
Okay.
I presume I could just take it off and put it on the dresser and lie to the thing and tell it I slept like a corpse all night long, but that's not honest. This is about learning about myself, Adam.
Yeah, next week we're going to get an update system about all the ways in which you're lying to the Fitbit. I'm looking forward to that.
Strapping this thing to the dog's leg and sending him across the backyard.
Well, I would like to congratulate you on recognizing that we need more devices in our life and acting on it. Good job.
Somebody's got to spread that message. Yeah. What else you got, Adam?
All right, Ted. I get this. At brunch the other day, upon my arrival, a guest I've never met asks me, "Are you the one with the George Saunders connection?" To which I said, "Well, that depends. Was someone talking about the fact that I have never been able to get into George Saunders to my or anyone else's satisfaction?" And like a hush entered the room. And then... No, it turns out I'm not the one with the George Saunders connection, but I then had to explain that despite a lot of effort, and despite the fact that I like the guy a lot, and I think I've talked about one of his essays on this podcast, I can't really get into him that much. Never finished a George Saunders book. Love a George Saunders interview, seems like a great guy, but we ended up talking at this lunch about the fact that Dave Eggers, a lot more readable than George Saunders. Saunders might be better, but if you're just talking about readability, Dave Eggers brings it.
So who's the guy with the George Saunders connection? That's what we all want.
Guy with the George Saunders connection wasn't there. Turned out there's another.
Where's George Saunders' uncle's stepson?
There was some other. Kid that went to my high school around the same age as me who got the host of the brunch into a meet George Saunders many years ago. And there was talk that I might be that guy. But I was not that
guy. They met him?
Yep.
I want to know where George Saunders' barber's nephew is. That's what I want to know.
Yeah.
Met him.
Me too. I'll tell you what, it's a good thing that the George Saunders... The guy with the George Saunders connection wasn't there, because, you know, I would not have been, you know, not that I'm even knocking George Saunders, but, you know, I would have really been walking a tightrope there, even more than I originally was. Oh. Because at any brunch, you know, if you don't bow to the altar of George Saunders appropriately, you know, there's already some, you know, a little,
yeah,
something. There's a little something.
You don't just drop some egg casserole on that plate, grab a croissant, and start smack talking George Saunders at a brunch.
That's right. You know, I felt
it's just
like
not something you do.
I felt like the youngest Lear daughter. You know, like I love George Saunders, but I don't love him as much. I'm not going to just fall all over myself.
Goner, you might be
maybe.
You might be the most. The softest disliker of anything, like the way you dislike George Saunders, is probably the most apologetic way anybody has ever disliked anything. Certainly, a pretentious author. I think most people they're just jumping ship. They're not falling over the side and then clinging to the barnacled hull as the ship just continues to sail on without them. Which is to your credit. I think that says something about you.
Yeah, as I'm getting thwacked by the side of the ship. Or are they getting thwacked in that? Anyways, Ted, what do you got?
No, you're getting done up by those barnacles. While the guy who met him 7 years ago is up on deck drinking a dirty martini with George.
Yeah, and they're both doing funny dialogue, like a weird, they're doing a weird non-traditional kind of dialogue together.
Yeah.
Like affecting like they're kind of an accent, but not really.
Yeah, like they're both living mannequins in some sort of display.
Mm-hmm.
But they're allowed to talk to each other.
What do you got, Ted?
Okay, I've got a quote. When I asked one of the bartenders at the bar we went to who the band was that was playing, he said, "You know what? I don't know, but I think it's written down. Find the menu, and you'll have your answer."
Wow.
I was like, man, that is the coolest way to tell someone that it's written on the menu.
That was brilliant.
Find the menu, and you'll have your answer.
Yeah.
I don't think it was on the menu. I was so taken at that point that I forgot to actually find a menu and look up who the band was that was playing.
You got your gazpacho course. You got your fennel and apple salad. You got your Kings of Leon.
I found the menu, and I did indeed find my answer. Thank you, kind sir. What else you got, Adam?
All right, Ted, so I was in Montreal, and after I returned from Montreal, I jotted down some remembrances from my first night there. I had a dinner at a nice restaurant, and it was just a real kind of Montreal-y experience. So, all right, I wrote, "At a restaurant with large windows looking out at the Avenue St. Lawrence in Montreal, inside the restaurant, everyone notices each other, kisses both cheeks, but not the twins, who sit with their backs to each other, each with a full head of tall white hair. Their partners greet each other, but they won't turn around." There's a couple of English speakers celebrating their anniversary. When he blows out the candle early, she says it is indicative of their marriage, then insists she is kidding. Octogenarians starting to take their seats, followed by their glamorous daughter-in-law, and eventually their tardy, bald son. His wife can't keep her hands off of him, and eventually leaves a kiss mark in lipstick on the back of his bald head. Finally, the wizard enters, matching red shirt and slacks, a long flowing coat, and a scarf, an impressive beard. I accidentally follow him into the bathroom. That's what I've got.
That's wonderful.
And that is why everyone should visit Montreal.
Sounds like a magical place.
Yep.
What are you writing in? That's what I want to know. What's in your paws right now? Analog. I know we covered the digital realm. We covered the quantified self portion of the show,
which
we delve into the latest technology that's enhancing our physical bodies. But let's turn our attention to
now that our Fitbit unboxing section is over. I am using the Field Notes ROMS edition. It is beautiful. It takes ink very well. It looks great with my Uniball Signo UM153 on it, and it's got a nice, what do they call it? They call it a soft touch varnish, but it is a two-tone gray, nice hardcover. It's a beautiful edition, and I have raved about it before on this podcast, I think when it first came out a few weeks ago, and I strongly endorse it again. You should get yourself one. And that's what I'm writing with. Yep. And I've been using the checklist as well. I've been using the frontline edition, the front page edition, for a checklist, making my way through that.
Oh, cool. That one doesn't have an actual checklist sort of rule on it, does it?
No, I've been using it as a checklist. They do have that edition, the resolution edition, and I started using those, and that has sort of a check, that has a checkbox sort of circle thing. And yeah, that was useful too, but the byline, the reporter notebook, just ripping out the pages when I fill up the page, very satisfying.
It's good stuff. There is, what is it, the Write notepads? Or there's one series that all of their notebooks have the sort of list function. I can never remember which one it is.
I don't think it's right. Is it
Word Notepad? Maybe it's Word. It might be Word.
Hey, you know what? Don't Google Word Notepad, because it's not helpful. You get Microsoft Word. You get Notepad. Word Notebooks is what you want to search.
There you go.
And
it's just after you search David Sedaris Notebooks, or maybe you'll search Word Notebook. But that, it's a bold choice, and a choice that I've never... taken on myself to even bother.
Yeah, you're right. They do all have those checklist things. I've never noticed it. Those, they do some nice covers. I've always...
I should try them out.
Yeah, they got a whole system. I think,
I mean, say what you will about Field Notes. They do a pretty good job of making you feel like there's no need to try out another brand, even if you would very much enjoy those products.
I'm sure that is unintentional. I'm sure that they would like you to try everything and diversify your notebook dollar.
Yes, I'm sure. A company that releases a brand new product with a full narrative every 3 months is definitely interested in you turning your attention somewhere else.
Right.
But the folks at the Erasables podcast, obviously, they've ventured out, I'd say, a lot more than we have, or at least than I have.
Oh, I don't venture at all.
Yeah, I mean, it's a testament to the form factor of the Field Notes.
Ted, I once made a mix CD of as many covers of the song At the Dark End of the Street as I could find, because I had briefly decided that that was the best song. And while I didn't think it was the only song I ever needed to hear, I was fine with just listening to different versions of that song over and over again. So... you know, I think that might tell you about my notebook usage.
How many? That's the band? Is that a band song?
No, it's not a band song. It's an old soul song. Aretha Franklin does a nice cover of it. I want to call it a Stozier. While I'm looking it up, I can also tell you that the only song other than At the Dark End of the Street on the album, on the little mix CD that I made, was... At the Bright Side of the Road, which is an Elvis Costello, no, a Van Morrison song, which is kind of an answer to that song.
That's a good one.
Yeah, Dan Penn and Chips Moman, first recorded by James Carr.
You know, Van Morrison did a whole album with just songs about streets and roads.
I once heard, I assume that's not true?
No, that's not true.
It could be, though. I once heard, and then I could never find this again, that Van Morrison would sometimes get a People magazine and use the words in a People magazine to inspire his songwriting. Like, he'd just grab a magazine off the news rack to try to
get him going. Worse.
Yeah.
Lester Bangs wrote, I think, one of the... he wrote this pretty epic review of Astral Weeks. And what I remember from it, besides enjoying it very much, you could just Google it and find the article, was his discussion of Van Morrison's sort of extra like beyond language, like going beyond language with his singing, you know, where he, especially on that album where he just repeats things over and over and kind of chants them and just, and, you know, twists and turns and da 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 and all this. So if there's going to be a performer who can get down with the People magazine, it would probably be the guy who
ends up who not singing just words.
Or take, you know, Taylor Swift. He could say Taylor Swift 38 times and probably make something out of it.
Turn it
at
up.
At least back in those
Turn
days.
Turn it up. Yeah. That was my Van Morrison impression.
Oh, that was amazing. I thought Van was in the studio with us here for a second. I am using my cousin's husband Cal gifted me the Field Notes standard issue pretty much everything memo book, black canvas with orange foil, that came with his copy of Pretty Much Everything by Aaron Draplin.
Nice.
And I started using it a few days ago.
It's a very Halloween-y book.
It is very Halloween-y, and that was almost inadvertent, but it's absolutely perfect. And, you know, it's, so it's got the black cover with the awesome orange foil stamping, and it's got the bright orange paper inside, and really cool printing even on the inside cover. It's got this DDC logo, repeating pattern kind of thing. And, you know, I kind of always saw it and thought, that's kind of cool, but... And then I started using this thing, and on the inside cover, to start with, obviously black pen wouldn't show up. It's a black inside cover. Pencil looks amazing on this black paper. It's got a sheen, and you can read it, and it jumps off. It looks really cool. And, a blue-black and a black pen on this orange graph paper just is iridescent. It's so cool.
I'm going to say it for the second time this episode, but it takes ink well, doesn't it?
It does, and it just looks like... It just looks really good, the way the dark ink works with the orange paper. So I did not expect to enjoy actually using it as much as I have, but it's been a real pleasure. And I feel like it's one of the more, like, I don't feel like I'm surprised by using a Field Notes that often, but this one I'm actually like, it just is cool. It's worked in a way that I was not expecting, and that's been really fun. So thanks to Cal, thanks to Aaron Draplin. It says they only made 5,000 of these, so hopefully I didn't just burn through some kind of collector's item. Don't care though, it's pretty fun.
Do you think, I suppose anyone could say of paper that it takes ink well. Maybe this is something that everybody discovered 2,000 years ago, and
I'm slightly concerned that you ignored everything I said.
I heard what you
just
said.
Because you're now fixated on your own comment about whether something takes ink well.
I was stuck on that, but I'm glad that I'm just, not going to recite what you said.
Just waiting
for the sake not of our listener, but just to prove that I was listening to what you said, which is that there are only 2,500, but you don't care if it was a.
I didn't say it's 5,000, Adam. It was 5,000. All right, I rest my case.
Okay,
but for the record, it does take ink quite well.
I just was kind of stuck on the fact that I sounded like a lunatic screaming, first, turn it up, and then, takes ink well.
Whoa, Van. Yeah. Van's back in the studio. Easy. Whoa, you got to warn me when you're doing that.
So what other, for some reason we like ink on orange paper. Some say it takes ink well. What other, it doesn't always work though, right? Like that Northerly edition, which I like, that was a... Maybe that was ink. Well, that was like reverse graph, so that didn't work that well. I know that
I think people said, and I've never experienced it again, but the resolution edition that you were talking about, I think had some other kind of funky coding that folks did say it didn't take ink well. And of course, there's the Expedition, which was
no ink.
Covered in an inch and a half of seal blubber on every page. Which made it difficult to penetrate with anything but the burliest Bic pen.
The other problem with that one is that those seals, they smell the blubber on you, and they come up to you, and they want to know why you smell like seal blubber. They don't take the
hint. And you're like, hey, fella, I'm trying to expedition here. Back off. We're in the Chicago suburbs over here. What are you doing in the suburbs, Seal?
Seal Blubber Edition.
I did receive my... I ordered up some end notes. Didn't take me long before my curiosity was just... was absolutely piqued. I feel that this is... It's so nice. Like, this... thing is really nice, right?
Yeah.
Is that what you said?
I just feel like this thing is so nice. It is nice. I haven't used mine yet, though. I can't. If it's so nice, no, I want either. To find a good use for it.
Yes, I sort of feel that way. I'm sort of excited to try it out in my pocket and see how it works, even though it's tall. You know what it reminds me of? Here in Texas, I don't know if you've experienced this in your neck, but it's probably a southern thing. Sometimes the more countrified gentlemen who are likely to wear a pair of tight-fitting Wrangler jeans have been known to sport a tall wallet. Like a wallet that is actually similar in, you know, kind of like the size of a checkbook, but, you know, nice leather, and maybe there's some decorative something on the part that actually intentionally sticks out of your back pocket.
Why would anyone do that?
I don't know. I think it's, you know, so you can, it's the size of a non-folded bill. So maybe it's for bills, for checks, whatever. But it's ornamental. It's not practical. But the size of this thing reminds me of that. So it kind of makes me curious to try it out in my back pocket. It might be too thick. I mean, it's sort of thick. But it, you know, it really does feel like a dime novel quality in just a narrower shape. Like, the paper's thicker. It's obviously going to be toothier. But the dime novel just drove me totally nuts, because it literally wouldn't fit in my back pocket, rendering it a massive inconvenience, even though it was pretty nice. This one's in between there, so I'm going to give it a shot once I finish the Halloween edition and see what it has to say.
I'm hung up on this tall wallet thing. I don't understand why anyone would do that. No. Do you think it was supposed to be a wallet that would go in your coat pocket, and then in Texas somehow it ended up in your back pocket?
Maybe so. I seem to recall people sometimes chaining it to their belt loop as well.
Yeah, because otherwise you're going to lose it. It's going to fall out.
It's in the belt, large belt buckle, large ornate, thick leather worked belt. It's in that category.
You know what I think is going on, Ted? I think what you've got is you've got some folks there with a like an iPhone XS, and it's an iPhone XS, a case / wallet, and you know you got your
seen cowboys one of these things since
cowboy hats
1996,
and you're well they're ahead of the time, and and they got to do something to hold that XS. They probably got one of those funny little toggle things that you can suction onto the back of your phone to either make it stand so you can watch some of your YouTube clips, or you can put your little fingers around it and hold it far away from you for a selfie.
Yeah. I mean, that would explain the Hello Kitty leather work that I've been seeing so frequently in the F-250s of the world. The other thing I wanted to mention, another thanks to Ryan for sitting in on the podcast. I think he did an awesome job. Did you give that a listen, Adam?
Well, you know I did, Ted, so I can pretend that we didn't talk about it ahead of time, but you know, I've let my complaints be known to both of you, and you know, I think probably the less said about it, the better. No, I'm just kidding. He was great.
Let's do this again next week, Adam.
Sounds good, Ted. Goodbye.
Hey, check us out on takenote.space. That's our website.
It's a real website, even though it sounds like it isn't.
Check us out on Twitter at TakeNotePod. And check Adam out in a stand-up comedy club in Montreal near you. For some reason, it just feels like he's going to become a stand-up comedian in a leather jacket in Montreal. Bye.
I'm going to become a wizard, Ted.